and welcome to the Houston Innovators Podcast. I'm Natalie Harms, editor of Innovation Map. My guest for today is Michelle Stansberry, Vice President of Innovation and IT Applications at Houston Methodist. Michelle joins the show today to discuss the newly opened Houston Methodist Tech Hub in the ION, which unveiled last week to better connect with Houston innovators in and outside of healthcare innovation. She also shares more about some of the many other innovation efforts coming out of Houston Methodist. Michelle, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, well, thank you for having me, Natalie. Always appreciate the opportunity to talk with you.
Yes, and we have a lot to talk about. But first, for those listening who aren't familiar with your background, share a little bit about your journey and your career and how you ended up at Houston Methodist.
Sure. Well, it's an interesting career. I've told a few people, like any good Houstonian who grew up here, I started my career in oil and gas, stayed there for a few years, and then had the I was going to say it was a great opportunity to go to work for Compaq Computer. For other Houstonians who remember that organization, of course, they're no longer around. But it was really enjoyed my time there. But what attracted me to go to Houston Methodist, and this is always an interesting question I ask people about what was their journey to healthcare. And usually it's a similar story when it's about a higher calling. And mine happened to be 30 years or a little over 31 years ago, I had my oldest son who had some problems and ended up at Texas Children's. And after about 2 weeks, when we knew he was going to be okay, my husband and I really just kind of started looking around and thought, what a fantastic place to really work out and know that you're truly making a difference overall within the Houston community and serving overall the patients. I will say, I don't know that I could ever work for Texas Children's. It's just very hard for me to see children in overall, you know, under duress that way. So I give high credit to individuals who do work there. But I did was very, very fortunate 30 years ago to join Houston Methodist. And it's been my absolute honor to serve in that organization and really seeing how it's grown over the last 30 years. But, you know, it's amazing to see how the institution has changed over that time. But really, I feel extremely blessed every day that I can go in and feel as though I'm making a huge difference overall to the community we serve, even though I don't do direct patient care.
Well, as you know, and as a lot of Innovation Map readers know, I cover a lot of what Houston Methodist is doing. You'll have a lot in the works for innovation, and you'll do it in a very interesting way to where it really engages the full system. So tell me a little bit about that and your particular role in that bigger picture innovation-focused organization.
Sure. Well, as I try to explain to individuals, innovation is not new to Houston Methodist. I mean, we're really well known for our clinical innovations and, of course, in our research institute, everything that is occurring in that organization. But really, this started about 5 years ago when digital health technology, probably digital technology as a whole, really started coming into play and people really trying to decide how it could be used within their organizations. And it also started as individuals outside of healthcare were really trying to determine how they could solve the problems of healthcare and try to disrupt overall healthcare as a whole. And so there were a group of us within Houston Methodist that were kind of keeping our eye out on certain things that were being developed overall in the digital tech space. So we started meeting and kind of like any good thing that starts within an organization, we started meeting on a weekly basis and just comparing notes. What have you seen? What are the other things out there that you believe that could help us in our organization to solve the problems that we were trying to accomplish at that time? And it really sort of lended itself to this collaboration between operations and IT. And like any good group does, we named ourselves and we've kind of become known as the DIOP group, which stands for Digital Innovation Obsessed People, which we are. We're very obsessed overall with innovation. But from that, we really then created what everyone knows today as our Center for Innovation. And I think what makes us very unique, and I haven't really seen it in any other organization, is this true partnership and dual roles that we hold. And I'll give an example. Our Chief Innovation Officer, Dr. Roberta Schwartz, is also the CEO of our largest hospital. I am in a traditional role of vice president in IT over all the applications that support Houston Methodist, but also the VP within our Center for Innovation. And we did this on purpose. And the reason we did was one, as we were trying to go out and learn from others when we were creating this innovation space, we heard a lot of organizations that had great innovation centers, but they were really separated from overall daily operations. And while they would come up with great solutions that would potentially help the organization, when it came time to pilot or implement those solutions, they ran into the barrier of, we're all too busy. Can we do this maybe next year? Or we don't have the resources to implement it. So we said, we're not going to do that. One, operations knows exactly what problems we're trying to solve. And IT, you know the technology and how to get it implemented quickly. If we partner together, then we should be able to, and our motto is succeed fast or fail fast. It has really come true overall for us as an organization, the speed at which we've been able to pilot, well, one, find a solution, two, pilot it, and if it works well, roll it out across our organization at a speed that most other organizations haven't been able to do. And it's been highly successful for us. I know others have asked, will we ever change it? And no, we won't. It's been beneficial because we have representation from so many individuals in operation and then overall the IT component as well. So that's kind of how DIOP, and I'll still kind of refer to it as that because we all still feel that's what we are. Our group got started and it still maintains today. We've kind of expanded overall from our original group that we started, and we now have work streams that are kind of like work groups that report up to our Center for Innovation so that they can remain very focused in on certain areas like patient access or patient throughput or in our clinical areas or our employees or our physicians. And they really do focus on what innovations and problems are they trying to solve and what pilots they would like to do, and then bring those overall to our steering committee.
Yeah, well, I respect it and I commend you because you didn't, no one needed another job, but now y'all all wear multiple hats. But it's really like, it's really cool to think about because, yeah, you have such a important stakeholders with seats at the table. So nothing gets kind of hung up in theory through the red tape of, you know, kind of working it up the pike and stuff. So I think that's so unique that Houston Methodist does that.
Yeah, if I could just even, as a matter of fact, I was talking to one of our other partners that's in operations. She's over system access, and we are truly partners. But I've never seen another organization that it isn't of operations coming up with solutions and then coming to IT saying you need to implement it. No, we're all sitting at the table, collaborating together and figuring out how it is we can, one, get things implemented or piloted. What do we need? Is it resources? Is it funding? And then how can operations be so involved? Because they're the ones who are really helping to run these initiatives. And it's the only way that you can get individuals within the operational units to truly adopt this new technology as quickly as we would like them to. And it's because of the operational leaders that are, we're attached to each other.
Yeah, that's so cool. Okay, well, the kind of latest news coming out of DIOP and Houston Methodist and everything you're doing is that last week you celebrated the opening of the new Houston Methodist Tech Hub in the Ion, which you've had the Tech Hub for, I guess, over 3 years now, which InnovationMap reported on when that opened in the main hospital and the Texas Medical Center. But now you have this outpost. So tell me a little bit about how this project came about, what your goals were going into setting up shop in the Ion.
Yeah, well, it was an interesting story, and As I said the other day at our opening, it was a long time dream that would kind of come true. Yes, our tech hub has been really beneficial in us building and being able to test out solutions in our own hospital environment. And really, the goal of that space was to bring in our business partners, our other vendors, to help collaborate with and build solutions as we want to pilot them and then roll them out. And so I got a call from Aisha McCracken, and she was like, "Michelle, I'm going down to tour this new Ion space," which we had been kind of keeping our eye on. Of course, being the innovators that we are, we heard about the new innovation space. So she called me, said that she was going to on a tour and would I be interested. So these were tours that were being set up for the Ion for people to come in before the grand opening of even the Ion opening up. So there was a group of us that went, and as we were touring the space and hearing about everything of the goals of the Ion Center, which was true collaboration, cross-industry collaboration, I'm just telling you, lights, ideas just started sparking, and I was thinking, what a great extension for us to be in a space where we have already looked at cross collaboration without an Ion Center of working. And we've done several solutions that way. But wouldn't it be great if we could be in this space so that we're all together and that we could bring in solutions we've already worked on? We could bring on problems we have and have individuals who are in that space that we could begin having all of that collaboration being done in one area. So after the tour, we sat down with Jan, who is the, of course, the executive director of the Ion Center, and just started brainstorming. And it was amazing. Not only did we have great ideas, but Jan was just, it kind of the same thing happened with Jan of, wow, this could be really a great collaboration between healthcare and all of the other industries that were going to be represented at the Ion Center. So after lots of meetings, and of course, as you know, Natalie, we've always had a great partnership with Rice, with many initiatives, and this almost felt like just a great extension with Houston Methodist and our Rice collaboration that we've had to bring us into the Ion. And so, our main goals have been to really how can we utilize the talent that is going to be housed in that facility, whether they're a full-time company that has space in there, or if they're just collaborators who are coming in for the day, to come and meet with us and talk about and start to collaborate. Here are some of the problems we're trying to solve. And do they have any ideas? Is there ideas of things that they have that could be potential solutions for Houston Methodist and our patient population? And if they have an idea, because we created this space almost as an extension of our tech hub that we have in the hospital, where it has a home of the future, clinic of the future, and kind of an inpatient space, that if they needed a place to be able to test out their solution, that they could. And if we felt that it truly looked beneficial to us, then they could come down over into our bigger tech hub within the hospital to truly begin to expand more of that collaboration and testing and potentially a solution that we would roll out across the Houston Methodist. But it really, the idea just bore out of the goal that we have to not only just look in healthcare for solutions, but to look outside of healthcare. And, the pumps and pipe story is just a prime example of what the possibilities are that if you put an oil company together and an oil company executive and a heart surgeon together, of what potential could come out of those discussions.
Yeah, for those who haven't seen pictures of the new space, we do have them on Innovation Map. And I think what's really interesting and struck me visiting the space too is the fact that, the Ion is a place for, co-working space and for other built out kind of office space, but where the tech hub in the Ion is it's accessible to anyone who comes into the Ion. You walk down the stairs, you can see it, you can set up appointments to go in there. And I also love this idea that, the Ion is industry agnostic. So you really get innovators from across the space coming in and out of there for tons of events and everything. So that visibility is also a big part of it too.
I mean, you're absolutely right. And again, that's the overall goal, because most people don't think about, oh, I have an idea, so let me go down to the hospital and talk with Houston Methodist. It almost diminishes the thought of truly, that idea, and then, okay, now I have to go down to the hospital. No, now you've got a true collaboration space that's much easier to get into. It's easier to get to Houston Methodist, and then us begin those overall discussions. And I really just, even at the opening, hearing individuals coming up and talking to me about some of their ideas, they want to come talk to us. I feel this is just going to be a great opportunity, not only for other collaborators, but for Houston Methodist, and ultimately for the community that we serve. For us to continue on this journey of really of this innovation and bringing new technology to help overall, and not just our patients, but our clinicians as well.
Yeah, I do think that I'm not an entrepreneur, I don't work in healthcare, but I would be very anxious going into a hospital to be like, hey, I have this company. Like, people are saving lives there. Like, I don't want to get in the way. So meeting the innovators where they are is such a good idea. And definitely everyone should check out more about the Tech Hub. But really, that's just the newsiest thing that's coming out of DIOP and Houston Methodist. So a couple other things I want to talk to you about. At the opening, you had a whole presentation on some of the sustainability efforts that Houston Methodist is not even just like hoping to roll out one day, that are you're doing it right now. So I'd love to hear a little bit more about kind of some of those initiatives and what sets kind of Houston Methodist apart by committing to these. Some of them are maybe like pilot programs. Some of them are really kind of well entrenched in the workflow already.
No, and this is, again, this is at the heart of reasons why I so appreciate working for a company like Houston Methodist. I mean, I think they're always looking forward and ahead of ways that not only we are taking care of our patients, but what are we doing to actually, create this environment and making sure that we're doing the right efforts for sustainability. I mean, which we should all be doing. It's, across it's, we have to protect this environment that we have, or it may not be the same, for our children going forward. But, so we've got a whole program, and I appreciate one of our partners, Jason, coming in to present to the group. But it's, look, it's looking at food waste, and what can we be doing overall, and making sure that throughout the campus that we're looking at different programs of what we can do to eliminate the food waste, or composting programs and stuff within the organization. The other is which I've seen and I was very much impressed with, which is overall in looking at medical devices and how it is you could repurpose and think about blood pressure cuffs. I saw one here the other day when I had my son. He was in the hospital for something, and I was like, wow, look at that. These are things that are just, they're recyclable, they're repurposed, instead of the other ones that I'm not sure what they did with them before, but what a great way to be able to help, overall sustain our planet here. And then electronic waste. And this is kind of near and dear to me, right? Overall with working in IT, but it's looking with overall with an organization of how, they can recycle some of the materials that are all within the computers and servers and everything else that we have, instead of them just filling up the landfills. And then probably the most important, and I'm very proud to be able to say this, that, we're looking at medical supplies that have an expiration date where a part of the United States says we cannot utilize those supplies once they've expired. We are sending those over to different countries that can still use those products because they don't have the same guidelines that we have to work under because of overall with the expiration part of it. So, knowing that we're helping to be able to care for other individuals because we're sending these products over to other countries, to me, I think it's very valuable. Because we all know that in other countries that don't have the resources that the United States do, it is really overall helping them. But the other is we're looking at solar panels across in some of our garages right now. Who knows, that could expand even further, as we kind of learn more about how to use solar panels. And then the other is our new Centennial Tower that we are building, which is going up next to our Walter Tower. We are looking at putting a rooftop garden on top so that patients and some of our employees will have an opportunity to go into a green space and be able to experience that when being overall within the institution to kind of give them the atmosphere of, being outside and enjoying the green environment, even though they're in a hospital building itself. So a lot that's going on, and I will give true credit overall to Jason and that department. They will continue looking at other ways that we can build on that program as time goes on.
Well, it's such a great reminder too that every company, no matter the industry, should be looking into these modifications and updates when it comes to sustainability. And going off of the ongoing construction, I know the TMC campus is undergoing massive expansion with the Helix Park project. What's Houston Methodist's role in that? And tell me the Houston Methodist side of that big Helix Park project.
I know you were going to ask this, and I really don't have a whole lot of information on that right now, Natalie. It would not surprise me, as Houston Methodist tries to get very much involved overall in everything that TMC is doing. We want to make sure that we're doing our part in helping overall kind of grow the Texas Medical Center as a whole. I don't have a lot of information on that. Would be more than happy to get back with you and share other information. But it is a very exciting time. It's watching everything that TMC is doing with Helix Park. And I can't imagine that Houston Methodist isn't involved in it in some part, but I will say, me personally, I'm not. But again, we'll, try to get you more information on that so that you can have it at a later time.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, it is a massive undertaking that they're doing, and it's going to take a while for all of those elements to
But what
deliver.
a beautiful, I mean, I've seen renderings of what they're going to do, and it is just phenomenal. I can't even wait to see it when it's done. It's here's the other thing that, for people outside of Houston, and we get a lot of visitors in, and especially here recently because of our innovation initiatives, we've had a lot of other health systems that have wanted to come in and learn from us. But they're just in awe of when they see the Texas Medical Center. That no one really has understood how big it is, and all the institutions that are involved in there. And so I think once they add in overall this Helix Park, it's just going to be even more massive and more impressive for individuals when they do come and visit.
Yeah, that's so true. Well, a construction element of Houston Methodist that I do think you have a little bit more information on is the new Cypress Hospital, which is kind of, being billed as this hospital of the future, where you're going to take some of these technologies that you've been working on for years within DIOP and Houston Methodist and really deploy them in on a larger scale, I think. So tell me a little bit about the new Cypress Hospital.
Sure, and it has. We've dubbed this as our smart hospital of the future, and the goal was really to look at where, and this was interesting because it's been almost 2 years now of when we were starting to think about the hospital and what did we want inside of it. We kind of made these future bets of where we thought technology would be when that hospital came up. And ever since that time, we've been working on those bets because we didn't want the technology to be used the first time when the hospital opened. So we've been using some of these things already within our current hospitals because one, we wanted to make sure that the technology works, and two, that our staff could be trained on how to use it prior to even coming up over within the Cypress Hospital. Now, we haven't fully rolled out everything yet. But, ambient intelligence, I'll tell you, is just a piece of technology that we have found to be really exciting. And a lot of it, we've been using it in really big data as well. But It's fall monitorings. It's been helping us with our virtual nursing program, our consults, and the idea is that you will have cameras and audio in every room, so that, you know, whether it's being used through our virtual operations center to take some of the burdensome task off some of our nurses, the floor nurses who are doing you know, direct patient care, that they now have a way to be able to communicate directly with the patient and the patient communicate with them, or whether it's consults that need to be done from a physician, or a physician that just, instead of having to make rounds directly in the room, that they can make some of their rounds by video into the room to be able to talk with the patient. So that's part of the technology that we're looking at. And with this also camera technology, and the ambient intelligence that's there, we can use it for fall monitoring. We can use it for other monitoring aspects of the patient. Instead of having individuals that have to look and be almost directly in front of the camera watching them all the time, the intelligence piece of this technology will look and determine, do we have a patient that's, you know, trying to get out of the bed that shouldn't be getting out of the bed? It can alert them to please stay within the bed. And then we can alert the desk that they need to go and check in on the patient. So that's another piece of it. And we're also looking for conveniences for our patients, so that they come, the conveniences that we've all come to expect. But we've got it, this idea of a smart TV. We're all aware of a smart TV, but where this smart TV is not just used for entertainment purposes, but it's also used for clinical purposes. So it will give you who's your care team? What is your daily plan for the to that day while you're on an inpatient? Do you have tests that you need to go for? Do you need to have, you know, any type of imaging test or whatever? It's also a way to be able to get into your MyChart. If you want to get more information, you can order up your meals through there. You can, again, communicate overall with the nursing staff or doctor overall with these TVs. And because we have become so used to our phones, even when you're in the hotel room, don't know if you've used those, but the TVs, not only will you be able to use them from the bedside control, but you can actually hook your phone up to the TV and have it controlled by there. So, and then it's a way to be able to control, like I said, the temperature, the lighting, some of those other just conveniences. But another big thing that we're working on is voice. And this is not only just voice for the patients, and utilizing voice in the rooms, but voice for our clinicians. And we're working on a pilot right now where there's the ambient intelligence to be used for the physicians when they're seeing the patients in the clinic to automatically capture documentation of that discussion, create their notes for them within the EMR. So all they have to do is sign off. But we're also working with vendors to partner with them on developing that same technology for nursing. Nurses are just as burdened by the EMR on documentation that's necessary as physicians are. So we want to try to lessen that burden by allowing them, when they're having overall discussions with patients, that it's putting in that information into the EMR just as it is for the physicians themselves. And then again, just allowing the patients to be able to voice things as they're in the room by utilizing the speakers.
Yeah, it's a whole lot of technology that you're deploying, and it all makes sense when you're explaining it. So I think that'll be really exciting to see all of that come to fruition and really change the experience.
Well, and the robotic technology too that's come along also for hospitals to use is really amazing. It's up and coming. And the last one I want to mention, because I'm very, very excited about it, is a biometric device that we have been piloting that has been highly successful. And it's a patch that you can put on with patients. It's about the size of a half dollar. You can put it on the patients. We're utilizing them on the floors right now. It's capturing vital sign information, respiratory rate. It can do many other things. And our ultimate goal of part of what we're learning too on this, Natalie, is eventually, as we learn how to use this technology, it is helping us to determine when we get ready to start doing remote monitoring at home. We already have used the technology. We know how to what parameters and alerts need to be done when those alerts happen. How do we deal with those alerts? So again, an extension of overall our hospital, so not just inside, but now how are we going to be better able to care for patients when they need to go home? Or they may just come to the ED and they really don't need to be admitted, but we can still monitor them while they're at home.
Wow, there's a lot going on, and I want to keep up to date and keep talking to y'all about all of these technologies because it's really advancing the healthcare experience for patients and also your huge amount of employees that you'll have across Houston. So thank you so much for sharing all of that. And of course, everyone can learn even more by visiting the hub and talking to the people there, right?
Please do. That is the reason we have the space, and we hope everyone will come and visit and bring their ideas with them.
Yes, absolutely. Well, Michelle, thank you so much for your time today. It was great catching up and learning all of this. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Houston Innovators Podcast. Don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss next week's edition, and check out innovationmap.com for the latest Houston startup and innovation news.